Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Okay, let's talk Ukraine. So let's get an update. And joining us right now is Professor Annemart van Wyk. She's a professor in the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, thanks. And yeah, hello to the listeners as well.
So tell me, are you a fan of ketchup and Cadbury's?
I'm definitely a fan of Cadbury's. The ketchup, not so much. But it's an intriguing discussion that you have going here about how many tomatoes go into a bottle of All Gold.
Exactly. I mean, that could be a maths problem, you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's get an update on Ukraine. What do we know now that we didn't know yesterday?
Sure. Okay. A lot is happening there, but at the same time, the conflict is also, you know, basically reached a stalemate. So we do see that Ukraine is winning some ground to the northeast of the Ukraine and taking some cities back. But at the same time, you also see now that the city of Mariupol have finally been defeated, and it's really only a few Ukrainian soldiers that are left in Mariupol. Now, Mariupol is a very important city for Russia to have, because currently what Russia is trying to do in the Donbas region is really to create a land bridge between the Crimea that they annexed in 2014, you know, and the rest of the eastern region. So it's a land bridge that they want to create up to the border with Russia. At the moment, they're already controlling the sea around that area. Now, Mariupol has been one of the biggest, is one of the biggest harbors in Ukraine. So as a harbor and an exporting city, it's a huge loss for Ukraine, but also, you know, a big gain for Russia. So that is what we're seeing happening in that area. It just doesn't make sense to me that they would destroy a city like that, which is such an important harbor city. You know, and there's basically nothing left of that city. Nothing is standing there. A few other things that have happened overnight or since yesterday that I think can maybe escalate the war a little bit, or maybe see some more irrational behavior from the side of Putin, is that really Belarus are now deploying troops on the border with Ukraine. And they are spreading increasing disinformation about the fact, or what they say, is the United States and NATO who's increasing its military presence in the area. And we see no proof of that. So it really is just, you know, some disinformation. Another thing that has happened is that Ukraine, with its small advances that it made in the east of the country, has also led them now to successfully stopping Russian gas shipments to Europe through a key hub in the east of Ukraine. And that accounts for about 25% of the gas supply from Russia to Europe. Another thing to watch is that Sweden and Finland are expecting to announce in the coming days if they are going to ask for membership of NATO. Now, if Finland joins NATO, it would basically mean that all of the states neighboring Russia to the west, except for Belarus and Ukraine, would belong to NATO. So they would all be members of NATO. And the vast majority of those states were part of the former Soviet Union. So Putin, of course, regarded the Ukraine wanting to become part of NATO as Western aggression. So I think this could play a significant factor in Putin maybe escalating the conflict. Escalating, where would the escalation go? At the moment, we are seeing that the expectations that Putin, I think, had for the Ukraine did not really happen. And they also faced the problem of the conventional force not really, you know, balancing out with Putin's ambitions. So Russia is still bringing more equipment into the Donbas region, but they are not really making much progress currently in that region, except for Mariupol. Further north around Kharkiv, the Ukrainians are counterattacking, and this is complicating Russia's communications, which runs through the city of Kharkiv. Now, all of this raised the question, so if whether Putin could turn, you know, to more drastic means, such as the use of nuclear weapons. But I do want to emphasize that I do think it's unlikely, you know, that he would turn to such an escalation soon, because Putin would need to perceive Russia to be under an existential threat for that to happen. But on the other hand, we are also seeing Putin making increasingly more irrational decisions. You know, so I think it remains a bit of a concern, but not a major concern at the moment. The one place where Russia really has the upper hand is in the Black Sea. So they're basically blockading all of the Ukrainian seaports. So Ukraine at this stage cannot use any of their harbors or their ports. So they have superiority in the Black Sea. And we're also seeing now that Russia is increasingly attacking, you know, infrastructure like harbors and bridges, you know, and train tracks, you know, to try to kind of like get the economic, how can I call it, an economic assault on Ukraine. There's one bridge, for example, it's a bridge over the Dniester River, which is a bridge to Moldova, which Russia has now attacked 4 times already. And it's a bridge that Ukraine is using at the moment, you know, to export some of their grain and some of their sunflower oil and that sort of thing. So, yeah, so that's basically from my side what I think happened over the past 2 days that I think is worth mentioning.
Professor, why do you think the United Nations, I mean, you look at the UN members, right? So you've got Russia, Ukraine, both of them are members of the United Nations. United mm-hmm. Nations was set up, it is the organization that was founded after World War II, and it was really there as the peacekeeper. Yeah. Why do you think they haven't got involved? Because from a layman's view, it looks like the world is fighting a proxy war with Russia through Ukraine.
It does seem like it, doesn't it? One thing we must remember that in the United Nations Security Council, that Russia is one of the 5 permanent members of the Security Council. So any, you know, any invasion or any military action and that sort of thing, outside of just Ukraine, let's say there's a world force, you know, to be employed against Russia, would need to be sanctioned by the United Nations. Now, Russia being a member of the United Nations Security Council really, really makes that a big problem, because it also has allies like China, for example. And while all of the attention is focusing on Ukraine and Russia at the moment, people also should not forget that China is eyeing Taiwan. You know, so and there's a lot happening in the East that the attention is now diverted to Ukraine. So any military intervention against Russia will need to be sanctioned by the UN Security Council, which, of course, at this stage cannot happen because of Russia sitting there, but also Russian allies like China being likely to possible, you know, veto of any decision against Russia in that regard.
Professor Annemarie van Wyk, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, and just making things simple enough that my 5-year-old brain can actually comprehend and understand exactly what you were saying. So thank you very, very much. Professor Annemarie van Wyk is a professor in the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg.